interested in participating in Vietnam activities on a very militant level, and especially the conference, which will discuss all these questions on May the 18th, they should contact him. Now, secondly, Comrade Livio referred very specifically to the plight of prisoners, many of them Marxists, many of them Trotskyists, in Latin America. And we have here the secretary of an organization, Committee to Help Victims of Repression in Peru, here, could you stand up, Millie? Which is doing a work of trying to organize on this question here in London. So anybody who feels that they can offer any concrete assistance on this should see Millie after the meeting. The last thing about the announcement, I think we ought to thank the Pioneer Book Service, which, you know, did the technical work in enabling us to put this meeting on. And I think if any of you go to the Pioneer Book Service, you'll be very pleasantly surprised by the wide variety of literature, books, etc., etc. And there's a young lady at the back who will tell you how to get there. And I will draw your attention to two particular publications which will be of interest to all those who found tonight's meeting stimulating. There's World Outlook, which is a weekly service which covers and gives, I think, an unparalleled coverage to the kind of questions which have been discussed tonight. And that comes out weekly, and that is available from Pioneer Books Service, and you could subscribe or find arrangements for subscribing tonight. And lastly, in the latest issue of International Socialist Review, which is on sale at the back, there is a very fine article specifically on the Bolivian situation, which I could tell from the way comrades were listening to Livio that there's a great deal of interest in. So it's International Socialist Review, it's a red, white and black cover. Okay, continue with the discussion. There's a comrade there and then a comrade there. The comrade in the corner.
There's a question. A question of black power divides among so-called Marxists. I would like your men to re-educate all the white people here. Because as far as I know, there's only one Marxist group that's opposed to black power. All the others run away from it. The other big question is that everybody, some people say they don't support black power because they don't have a program. Fidel Castro said the fact that black power is coming into existence means that it can create a revolutionary movement without a program. And he also said that we belong to a wider movement than so-called communist parties. And this movement, black power belongs to.
Yeah. There's one thing I forgot. Very shortly, there's a list being passed around. And if anybody's not had the opportunity to sign that, please try to do so or leave your name at the back. This comrade here, and then the comrade there.
Regrettably, only heard fully Comrade Mandel's statement to the meeting. But I think it's an also his replies to various questions to be raised and discussed so far. I think it's very necessary to say that really what flowed from Comrade Mandel's statement to the meeting was really a very high degree of wordy international militancy, utilizing the victories of the Vietnamese people in order to provide a camouflage for pessimism of this extreme nature in relation to the advanced industrial government. But not only pessimism of a revealed nature, but also as a camouflage for inaction as far as the advanced industrial government. Alongside the struggle of the Vietnamese workers and peasants against American imperialism, 100%. But then to use that as an argument alongside the position that the workers of the advanced industrial countries of Europe and the United States are in the throes of defeat, which was really what you were saying on that.
Defensive.
You were really, yes, but you also stated there were defeats taking place.
In Britain there has been a debate. You have been unable to defend the base of the
U.S. is to be quite deliberately
show some.
How can you do this? Unless there is a campaign and a struggle taking place on those questions, suppose the question of a boycott of the bombs in Vietnam is really to play with words at a meeting and to avoid a serious discussion.
You do that by going to the Parliament and retreating, taking the
position. I think that you're posing in the whole of this contribution, and also to a certain extent in the previous speaker to yourself, is to talk very nicely and very militantly about struggles that are far away. But I want to see that the relationship of those struggles must be a fight in the metropolitan countries to carry through that revolutionary struggle. To say that you can have such a victory without a victory taking place and the struggle taking place in the advanced countries is really theoretical balderdash. And you know that too.
You are the Menshevik. You are the Menshevik.
You
are the Menshevik. You are the Menshevik. You are the Menshevik. You are a Menshevik. The Menshevik said that it was impossible to gain a victory in a backward country without a simultaneous victory.
What you're saying,
you are a Menshevik.
What you're saying is that in the advanced countries today there is no struggle taking place.
Nobody. Argument in good faith. I think if you listened to my report here, far from being pessimistic, I ended by enumerating all the reasons why, in the objective conditions of the metropolitan countries, contradictions of a social, economic, and political nature make the struggle for socialist revolution in these countries possible. To say that that is pessimistic is really bad faith and falsification. The only point I made, and on that point, Comrade Knight, you can talk for 1,000 hours, you will not bring anybody who is in good faith away from it, that today you have no revolutionary fight in Britain. That you know very well. Today you have no revolutionary situation. And to say, today you have no revolutionary situation, and to say that in order to create a future revolutionary situation, on which everybody agrees, there is no disagreement on that, to say that in order to create a future revolutionary situation, you should go away, shy away from the specific task of defending the revolution, which goes on, that is what I called before escapism. That's the position of the Russian Mensheviks who are speaking about revolution in England. They were speaking about revolution in England and about revolution in Germany. They were speaking about... If you did not say that, then you must admit that the task of defending the Vietnamese revolution is a specific task for the British workers today, separate from the fight against the income policy. Okay, they are separated in fact. They are separated in fact. If you don't understand that, that means that you do not accept it and that you do not want to fight that fight. That you talk. In France, we have a very concrete example. There was a big demonstration. There was a big demonstration of 10,000 people for defense of the Vietnamese revolution, and the friends of Comrade Knight were demonstrating there, shouting, "Long live the workers of Caen!" That is to say, they opposed the defense of economic struggles of the working class to the defense of the colonial revolution. That is the concrete consequence of this kind of rubbish which Comrade Knight here puts.